G'day and welcome to Macca's Podcast. I love the scope of our program, anything and everything. If you want to get in touch with Australia, this is the place to do it. Settle back and join the Australian phone box. See you on the road.
Get on with it, Macca.
G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca. It's Katerina calling from Shell Harbour. How are you?
Good, thanks, Katerina.
That's good.
How can I help you?
I am calling because this morning I was out at 4:30 in the morning in Illawarra lowland grassy woodlands and I was trapping for sugar gliders with my research team.
Uh-huh. Tell me why. What are you doing?
Well, that's an endangered ecological community here on the south coast of New South Wales. And so we're trying to look at whether those sugar gliders are pollinators of these native woodlands.
Uh-huh. And what are you finding? Are you finding many sugar gliders for a start?
Yeah, we are finding sugar gliders, even in the fragmented patches. So it is heartening, but the more fragmented it is, the worse off it is for our gliders. Certainly it's interesting. It's telling us information that we didn't know. We do need to do more for some of our endangered ecological communities.
They're nocturnal, are they, the sugar gliders, yeah. Obviously?
Yeah, that's right. So we have to become nocturnal too to study them.
So how do you trap a sugar glider? What do you do? What do you use?
Yeah, so these traps are called Elliot traps, and so they're these little folding aluminium traps. And then we put in sugar glider bait, which is what they call herbivore bait. It's just rolled oats, peanut butter, honey, and you make it into a little ball and you put it in the trap and you leave it overnight. And hopefully in the morning there's a sugar glider.
So, and what do you do with them then?
So then we take them out. We process them, we'll take a little clipping of their ear and then we do some genetics on them to work out sort of how far they're moving along the landscape and whether they're interacting with other sugar gliders in the landscape as well. So we can work out family groups and we can work out distances that they move, that kind of thing. We also take pollen samples from their scats or from the animal themselves as well. And then we have a look at the shape of the pollen under a microscope and it can tell us what species that comes from. So we get a bit of understanding of what plant the sugar glider has been on that night.
So you've probably found that they're not as endangered, or there's quite a few around at the moment. Is that right? You're surprised by the numbers you're finding?
Oh, look, they're in okay numbers. The sugar glider, they're still classified as a common species, but it's some of our other gliders, like the greater glider, that's endangered, and so. Them we find in lower numbers on the south coast. They are absolutely still in our tall open forests, but just in lower numbers.
And where do they live? In the canopy of the trees, right up the top, or what's the story?
The greater gliders do. Yeah, absolutely. So they need old growth forests with really big hollows, and so we find that in the escarpment forests running sort of south of Sydney all the way down to Victoria is where you'll find the greater glider.
So what time do you finish? Are they just about to wake up, go to sleep now, are they?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to be done before sunrise so that way if we did actually catch a glider in our trap, then we can let it go and it can safely get back to its hollow before any birds start mobbing it.
All right. Well, look, you're having a lovely time, Katerina, I think,
yes,
doing something. And what uni are you at?
At the University of Wollongong, I'm a conservation biologist there.
Uh-huh. And, you do all this sort of thing all the time.
I do.
Which is a great job, isn't it, to be out and around and, rather than stuck in front of, although I'm sure you probably get in front of screens and stuff, but
Bit of both. Yeah. A little bit of teaching, a little bit of research, and then, being in the bush, which I love.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Katerina, and nice to talk to you. How big? What does a sugar glider weigh? How much does it weigh?
Oh, gosh. Look, anywhere from 90 grams to about 120 grams, somewhere there.
So they're only little tiny possums, aren't they?
They're little tiny guys. Yeah, definitely. The boys are pretty vocal. They'll let you know when they're unhappy with you. They'll start grumbling at you.
Well, a lovely thing to do. A lovely thing to do. Have hold of a little sugar glider. There you go. You know, I've seen one in a book, of course, but I've never seen one in the. But that's good, because if they're out of sight, that's good, and they're up in the top of the canopy of the trees, so that's good too. And what do they eat? I'm sure they don't eat peanut butter and honey and rolled oats in the wild. What do they eat out there?
So they're what's blossom. Called an exudate specialist. So they make cuts in the trees, and then the trees will give up sap, and then they'll eat the sap.
Oh, really?
But they'll also eat, sugar from blossoms. They will eat insects when there's no, when nothing's flowering. They very much are very good at finding their way through the bush.
And what about insects? There's another thing. Insects. We've been talking anecdotal evidence. The insects are really put upon. People are spraying and spraying and spraying.
Yeah.
And insects I love insects. You know, I see them also. We used to see them, but you don't see them now. And when you drive around in a car, you know, you go on a long distance trip, used to be your windscreen was spattered with insects and moths and not anymore.
No, not anymore. No, our poor insects have taken a hit, and not just in Australia, but globally as well. So that's absolutely a global trend. It's got to do with insecticides. It's got to do with climate change. There's so many factors, perfect storm, unfortunately, that's come together to mean that we've got reduced insects globally.
I think it's pesticides and people and habitat. That's what I think it is. I don't think there's any habitat. And my friend who's been involved in this area all his life says every time you put a person on the planet, you're taking away the environment. And there's not only so much room, and so you displace an animal or a plant or an insect. It's pretty easy to work out. To me, you can't keep spraying all that poisonous stuff around the place.
No, that's right. That's right. That's right. And you know, some places in the world, Europe especially, quite at the forefront of insect conservation, and certainly they've done away with some of the worst of the insecticides. They're just simply banned. Look, we do see insect numbers popping up there that we haven't seen in a long time. So, yeah, we can learn a few things from other places around the world.
Good on you, Katerina. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Macca. All the best.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Joe's on the Sunshine Coast. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Macca.
What's happening?
Oh, we had a pretty wild night last night. A lot of lightning and thunder and driving rain it was. I don't know what the wind was, but it was driving rain. And I just had a look in the rain gauge, and it was 80 mils in the rain gauge, and that's near the Sunshine Coast Airport.
Uh-huh. And that's where that's where you live?
Yeah, I do. But down at Flyby the night before, they had really bad weather, and it took out a lot of areas in Blydly, and it even burnt meters in the meter boxes. So power was out most of yesterday in parts of Blydly.
Yeah, well, they say there's blackouts around the place, and storms still to come around the place. So yeah, you say you had 80 mils, Joe. That's a bit of rain in how long?
Well, that was from last night around about, 7:30, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Well, spring can really hang you up the most. I'll have to find that song. Well, that might have been an album name, but the weather's, we like to talk about the weather, don't we, Joe, because it's ubiquitous and we've all experienced something, and it's not political. Well, it is political, actually, but, not the way we talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've been measuring rain, in the gauge ever since I've come off the farm.
Uh-huh.
And I still measure it now, I'm just interested to see what goes on every time we get heavy rains and that. But, this is going back years and years ago. It's the same thing. I know people talk about climate change and all that, but it's happening like it was many, many years back.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me, Joe, about climate change. It's just dragged out everywhere. The lady who rang me this morning, Katerina, talking about the sugar gliders, and I said, what's the cause? And she said, Dudley, Dudley, Dum, and climate change. But the problem the problem for insects is pesticides and lack of habitat. And we're clearing land and there's lots of people. So that's the end of the story. You can climate change had come way down the list in terms of those sort of things. But anyway.
We don't pollute like China, India and other countries. And to me, it was good that they got, well, Liberals have got out of that, you know, and hopefully our power bills will come down if the Labor government drop it as well, because they're sending all this money over to, you know, whatever. I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, it's like a...
That's what I said. That's what I said. The weather is political, and we won't get into it. Joe, but I think that bad weather and unpredictable weather has been around for a long, long time, and a lot of people say that. Yeah, good on you, Joe. Stay safe, and nice to talk to you.
Rightio, catch you, Micah.
See you. Bye. Greg's in Port Victoria. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Macca. How are you?
Yeah, good.
That's good. I just thought I'd ring and let you know we've started harvest and things are going reasonably well, but the weather's been a bit inclement, so it'll be a bit on and off this year for harvest.
Port Victoria, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is in South Australia. We did a program there in 1999, I think.
You did.
Greg, and what are you harvesting, Greg, yourself?
Yes. Well, I have been, but we've got some rain today, so we won't be today. Hopefully on some lentils in the next couple of days. They're the main things being harvested at the moment.
All right, lentils.
Lentils.
Is the is there wheat, much wheat around there?
Lots of wheat, yeah. The main rotations are wheat, barley, lentils, some canola and some beans, but lentils are the primary crop at this stage.
And when will wheat start harvesting, or is it started?
We'll start harvesting wheat probably in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks perhaps. It all depends on the weather, because the weather doesn't look as though it's going to be kind this year, and we might be even going into next year, I think.
Uh-huh. So you wait for the drier weather before you harvest.
We've got to wait for the dry weather, Macca. Mm. Yes, that's the plan.
Does it matter if you the longer you leave the wheat? I mean, it'll...
Oh, yeah. If the longer you leave it, the more it is prone to being damaged, for sure. But basically, we're just hoping if it's going to rain, it's not much rain. So it doesn't take long to dry out.
All right, Greggy, anything else to report, mate? What else is happening?
Well, the other thing was we've got our 150th next year at Port Victoria.
Oh, really?
In March 2026, the first weekend in March, and we're having two tall ships coming, the One and All from Adelaide and the Soren Larsen from Sydney.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're coming, hopefully get some people on cruises. They're having lunch and dinner cruises, and we're having... everything, a bagged grain handling demonstration with some old elevators. We can't lump the grain nowadays because the bags are too heavy for everybody, according to the regulations.
So how do you load the ships now?
We don't load any ships. We're just demonstrating the bag.
Oh, grain. I see what he meant. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
it'd be nice to load the ships, but the poor old jetty's not as strong as it was 150 years ago. So.
No. I've got a book about Port Victoria and about the loading and back in the old days. And we were there in 99 with Max Fatchin, and he wrote a lovely poem about the...
That was a wonderful event, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he's got a lovely poem about the sou-westerlies and... the mice and the loading and the ships and beautiful.
Yeah, Max was a great advocate for the peninsula and particularly Port Victoria. We love Max.
Oh, what a man. All right, Greg, so when is that in next year?
It's March the 6th to the 9th, 2026.
Well, that'll be a big weekend.
It'll be a big weekend, Macca. Everybody's invited, including you, of course, but you're very busy. So we'll certainly be spruiking it over your show in the coming few months, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's not a problem, Greg. I'd love to be there, mate. I'd love to be there, all those, the Pamir and the Passat and all those wonderful ships and the, I forget the names, but I read those, you know, those books like The Set of the Sails and things like that. It's just, what a wonderful time. Well, except it probably wasn't a wonderful time for the sailors because they worked and, a tough life.
But it's very romantic and interesting now, isn't it? Yeah. Have you read Wide Sails and Wheat Stacks, Macca?
Don't think so.
Okay.
I've seen the title. Maybe I've got the book because I've got a pile of books here. People send me, but I never get time to read many of them. I just browse them usually, Greg.
It's a wonderful book about the history of not only the shipping and the bag grain, but also the area where the harvesting took place, and the history in this book is wonderful. Yeah, it's worth a read. If you haven't got one, let me know, please.
It's called again?
Wide Sails and Wheat Stacks.
Wide Sails and Wheat Stacks. All right, Greg. Good on you, mate. Keep in touch.
Thanks for your time, Macca.
It's a pleasure. Bill's in Blackburn. Morning, Bill.
Hi, Macca. I just want to make a comment about the insect Armageddon going on. Apart from environmental degradation and excessive pesticide use, etc., one of the factors is apparently the European wasp. I belong to the Field Naturalists Society of Victoria, Field Naturalists Club of Victoria. And the president, Max Campbell, is an expert on many things in science, and he's told me he's observed European wasps stinging emperor gum caterpillars in the trees, and the poor caterpillar falls out of the tree and is attacked and eaten by the wasps. They suck the juices out of the poor caterpillar. And in Blackburn, where I live, in the eastern suburbs of Victoria, we haven't seen emperor gum caterpillars around since I was a kid in the 1960s. So that's another factor to consider. I haven't seen so many European wasps around lately.
No, I haven't either. I had, in my backyard, I had a gum tree which they cut down, and it just had the stump there. And then I noticed one day, this is 20 years ago, that there was a whole lot of those. They're big yellowy black bands on their abdomen, haven't they?
That's right.
So, and then I looked it up.
A nasty sting.
Yeah, I bet. And they in and out, and I didn't touch them, but I went and looked it up, and it said, you got to go there at night to try and poison the thing. So I did, and I found some old, here's me talking about sprays, but it was some powder, and there was a hole in the ground where they were coming out of.
That's right.
So, and I got a red, I got a torch, and I put red cellophane
over the thing, so they can't see it.
So, and I sprayed it in there, this powder, and whooshka, they'd, next couple of days and whatever, and then they were gone. But like you, I haven't seen any of late, but I suppose they're around. Well, maybe they've just wiped those little beetles out, and who knows.
That's right. Maybe a natural sort of rebalancing is occurring where their numbers are being wiped out. But I've got a friend who's a beekeeper who is an expert in getting rid of them. But I had them in my wall of my 1965 brick veneer.
Wow.
And I could hear them buzzing behind the wall. So what I did, I carefully drilled a hole through the plaster and shoved some polyethylene tubing in, and then put attached a spray bomb to the other end of the polythene tubing and pressed the button, and it all shot through into the wall, and there was intense buzzing for a while and silence, so I got rid of them. Going out at night with red cellophane over your torch and pouring some noxious substance that's not too harmful to the environment down the hole will get rid of them, and then plugging the hole immediately. I think I poured some kerosene down one hole one day. I mean, that's a bit nasty, but it certainly did the trick.
Well, we're full of ferals here in Australia, Bill.
That's right.
They've arrived here in all sorts of ways, but feral insects, and there's the fire ant, which is apparently a...
That's right.
I don't know how the cane toad's going, but anyway.
It's all due to negligence on the part of human beings. I mean, you know, we've got all sorts of problems with feral camels and poor donkeys that have been exploited in the past by human beings and lots of things. But we've got to treat them humanely. I mean, we've got a big problem with deer in Victoria, and there's political issues over that because hunters want them to shoot, and but they're causing terrible damage to trees and the natural environment.
All right, Billy, good on you, mate. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for that.
Can I just say one more thing?
Quickly.
I wish to say hello to my cousin's husband, Barney, from Batlow, whom I think you know. He's Barney recovering he's recovering from a serious illness and doing very well, so we wish him all the best.
Barney is he?
Yep.
Oh, good morning, Barney. Thanks, Bill. Barney's a great bloke.
He's a great bloke.
You look after yourself, Barney, and we'll talk to you again sometime, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, good day, Mario.
Oh, hello, Mac. You just had the right introduction there.
I called you up last week because I wanted to. Do you still do the paper run in the mornings?
I'm there every morning, and see you sometimes coming in.
I need to get the paper in the morning. You can't get the paper in the morning. Used to be able to buy Sunday's paper at 11 o'clock on Saturday night, didn't you?
Yeah, but not anymore. But I can leave them there at the gate, at the entrance, you know.
All right, if you would, and I'll leave the money. Yeah. I'll leave the money under a brick.
We'll talk about that. why I was ringing, you just had the right introduction. You can tell the kids and the adults, we can ring Santa Claus from the phone boxes. And the number is #464646, so it's all available there.
Did you ring it last year? Did you, Mario? And did you get any?
I rang twice last year. Then after Christmas,
did you get anything?
No. I didn't for anything. And the other thing is that it's interesting and it's. There is a, how would you say, and I know you have to go to the news, there is this entity in France, Paris Versailles, and this entity of architects and designers, they select the 7 best train stations in the world. They check out the architecture, the cultural input, the functionality, everything. And this year, Garigal Station from Sydney is the number one station in the world.
What's the station?
Garigal. Oh, it's in Sydney.
Yeah, it's a new one.
Yeah, one of the new. I wonder if Transport News as well knows.
Well, it'll be on the news soon, I'll tell you.
Well, you can say, but I mean, they and that was an interesting prize, and they obviously they elaborate all the things they analyze on the stations in the world. And there are 7, but Garigal was number one.
Yeah, well, that's a new. See, that'd be a new station, just part of the new network, I'd say.
That is right. Yeah. It's just near a museum somewhere there. I haven't been there, but they describe it like something just out of this world. So
it's number one, is it? Number one in the world.
Number one in the world this year. They
we'll
do that
puff
every
our
year.
Chests out. We'll puff our chests out, Mario. I'll see you next Sunday morning. What time do you get there?
Oh, well, I'll ring you up. But give me a time. What time you get there?
I don't know, 5:30, quarter to 6,
yeah,
6,
right.
6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever, you tell me.
6 o'clock is, well, 5:30 before you
all
get
right,
in.
Yeah, okay, 5:20.
Because I'm there since 4 a.m., so it's nothing. Okay.
All right, I'll see you good on you, mate. Bye. That's news, isn't it? G'day, this is Macca.
Hi, Macca, it's Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Oh, hi. I'm in Melbourne. I'm at a eye doctor's conference.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty good. It's gone from Friday. It'll finish tomorrow afternoon.
Uh-huh. And you're an eye doctor, Ian?
Yeah, I am. And I'm going down to Torquay for a few days to have a look and dip my toes in the water at Bell's Beach.
All right. You a surfer or a swimmer?
I am. I'm a surfer. Mm. But I come from DY in Sydney, and a bloke was eaten there not so long ago. It was very sad.
Yes, I remember that. Yep, it is.
It's... But it's not the same shark as that I'm going to meet in down at Bell's Beach when I dip my toes in.
although they do travel, the eye doctors, are these regular things, Ian, these conferences for eye doctors? How's our eye health?
My eye health's good, but...
generally. Doing. Ours?
Well, it could always be better. The Indigenous people suffer more, I think, and those in the country suffer more too because they don't have access to... you know, easy access to eye care.
We hear a lot about macular degeneration now, you know, wet and dry eyes and...
You bet, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is the family history.
Mm.
The other big things are getting older, which is hard to avoid, and smoking. They're the big ones. Smoking's a big
one. Smoking, yeah. There you go. Yep. So when's the conference start? It's on now, is it?
Started on Thursday.
Mm.
Friday morning. And then it's going... Saturday, Sunday, and it'll finish tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to leave tomorrow morning.
And go for a surf.
Well, I'm going to dip my toes in the water at Bell.
It'll be cool. Water will be cool.
It's still cold at DY too. It's about 18 degrees and 17, 18 DY. It'll be much cooler down at Bell's.
All right. Look, you'll have to come in one morning and talk about eyes. That'd be nice. People would be interested in that.
I'd be happy to do that.
All right. We'll keep in touch. We've got a number for Ian, have we, Kel? Yes, we have. We've got a number.
Have a great day, Macca. Have a lovely day.
Good on you, Ian. Thank you. Bye. I was at home the other day, and this kid went past up to the local Oatley West school. It was about 3:10 because the school gets out at 3:30. And he was on one of those bikes with a little tractor tyre on it. He must have been doing 30 to 40 k's up the footpath, just absolutely motoring. And the kid was, look, I don't know, he was about 12, 14, maybe 15. He was just unbelievable. So I waited and just saw, and then he came back. So he went up there to pick up probably his brother, who was, you know, probably in third class or fourth class or something, and doubled him back. But when he doubled him back, he was only doing about 20. But he was doing 40 k's an hour. Bikes, it just kills me. And all these delivery drivers, they ride on the footpath, then they cross... onto the level crossing, or they're on the road, and then when the traffic lights are, they go straight onto the footpath and then cross the... I mean, breaking the rules, just continuing to break the rules. And then in the city I live in at the moment, which is Sydney, the bikes are back. There's bikes everywhere. Piles of bikes, knocked over, whatever. And they were around the place. I don't know about your city. They were around the place and then they disappeared and now they're back the last, whatever, 6 months for whatever. It's like we're in a Chinese city or a Jakarta or something where people ride bikes all the time. And it's dangerous. They lie on the footpath. They just drop them wherever they are. There must be a better way. There must be a better way. Speaking of coleslaw, you're going to Woolworths. Order Coles, and because you're too lazy to make your own coleslaw, which I am, it's all got kale in it. Give me a break, please. Kale. Oh. And the other thing I was thinking of, where I live, the house next door has been knocked down, completely knocked down. It's all house now. No backyard, no front yard, just all house. And, of course, they look straight into my backyard. And I remember Dick Smith rang about 20 years ago and he said, you know, everyone will find that there'll be a house next door and they look straight into your backyard. And this place is a huge giant of a joint. And it is unbelievable. Georges River Council, thank you. I mean, people, remember people used to criticise houses. We had little fibro houses or little brick veneer houses. The brick veneer used to cop it and then, well, they were much more preferable, much more tidy, and weren't imposing on everybody else's privacy. But anyway, more and more people. G'day, this is Macca.
Good morning, Macca. It's Karen from Victor Harbour.
How are you?
I'm well. Just wanted to let folks know, like, I'm from Three Angels Messages Ministry at Victor Harbour.
Mm.
We supply food to... between 4,000 and 5,000 people a month. All of our food is free. Everyone's in need these days. We're strictly vegetarian, but Yeah, just want to get more people to come in that are in need.
In Victor Harbour?
That's correct, yeah.
And is there's lots of need, I assume?
Oh, Macca, it's getting worse every week, never mind every month. Like I say, we're feeding nearly 5,000 people a month.
And how long have you been doing this, Karen?
Personally, I've been there about 11 months now, but we've been working at the ministry for about 3 years now.
And how long's the Three Angels Ministry been going?
About 3 years where we are now, but 5 years in another location.
And what sort of people are coming to you for help with food and things like that?
Anyone in need. We're open to the community. We have people travelling 50, 60 kilometres an hour away.
But what are they? What's the demographic? Are they young people? Are they married people? You know, families? Are they older people? What? Everything?
We've got everyone. We've got folks coming in that are homeless, so we supply them with boxes of food. We've got teenagers coming in that are in university and really struggling, right up to 85, 90-year-old people coming through, all ages.
Yeah, it's a worldwide problem, but we live in Australia and we never think that that's a problem, but wherever you go in a big city, of course, and I know I give some money to Food Bank and Food Bank do the same thing, and it's, I don't know if it's the cost of living or what it is, Karen, it's a mixture of everything, I think.
Macca, it's absolutely heartbreaking. All we ask, like, everything is free. We're self-funded. We're not helped by the government at all. We just ask them to come in with a shopping bag, fill it up, take what they need for their family. We also do a second bite on Thursdays. But, yeah, we have about 500 people plus a week. And we do this every Sunday and every Thursday.
And Karen, why, you mentioned vegetarian, was there any particular reason why you're vegetarian?
Well, the church group are a vegetarian group, however, it's a health issue.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, milk and food, like meat and cheese and that sort of thing. But we're opening up a food area with hot food, cooked food, salads. We'll be doing that in the new year so people can come in, get the fruit and veg, and have a hot meal as well.
All right. Well, keep up the good work is all I can say, Karen. Three Angels Ministry in Victor Harbour. And where else is it?
Just at Victor Harbour at the moment. We may be looking at other places, but because we're self-funded, you know, it's a little bit tough. But, yeah, we do everything in there. All the food is absolutely free. And at the moment we've got strawberries in abundance.
What do they taste like? I mean, we've had a problem with people have had a problem with strawberries. Yeah.
Well, we've got Sherevalo strawberries here in South Australia, and they are the sweetest, most beautiful strawberries.
I'm coming. Yeah, good.
But we're at 17 Warren Street, Victor Harbour.
All right. Okay.
Just bring along a shopping bag and come in and feed your family.
All right. Good on you, Karen. Great to talk to you.
God bless.
See ya. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Hello.
Yeah, g'day.
Oh, Macca, I didn't know it was me. It's Wally Merriman, Macca.
It is you, Wal. Yeah, how are you, mate?
Oh, I'm good.
That's good.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Tell me a story.
Well, I got a red dog story.
All right, okay.
There's some friends of ours here. They have this much-loved English sheepdog. And it went missing, and great grief in the family and things. But 3 months later, some people from Caloundra rang them up, and the dog had got to Caloundra on the Sunshine Coast.
What, from Boorowa?
From Boorowa, yeah.
God help me, dear. Caloundra?
Yeah.
Well, so tell us the story. Did you talk to the dog? Is the dog going up? What happened?
No, he wouldn't say anything, apparently. Kept it all to himself.
He's as the Henry Lawson poem says, my dog's, he keeps to himself. He wouldn't talk even if he could.
yeah, well, this fellow's a bit like that. It's just amazing. They've been reunited and it's a huge mystery. How the hell he got there.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody knows here. So that sounds like he's been picked up and taken. Do you know what I mean? But how did they find him? What was the story there?
Well, I'm just not sure.
Oh.
But people must have found him up there and went and checked his microchip.
Uh-huh.
And worked out the ownership that way and then got in touch with him.
And so they, what, they put him in a box or sent him back down or went to pick him up or what?
I think they freighted him back somehow.
And do you know anything? Well, what's his name? What's the dog's name?
Oh, I don't know what the bloody thing's name is.
Well, you're a terrible correspondent.
Well, I'll just get the main part of the story.
There's a dog that went from Boorowa and he's been found in Caloundra. We don't know his name. we don't know nothing. But
I should have done more research.
No, it's all right, mate. It's a lovely story. I know, you see a little bits in your letterbox from time to time about somebody's lost a cockatiel or a dog or a cat or whatever, and it's tragic, isn't it? Because you don't know, and they're part of the family, the dog, isn't it? The dog's part of the family, and, you know, it's got its place at the table, if you know what I mean, and all of a sudden it's gone. You just worry, worry, worry. Well, that's a lovely – they must have been very – can I ask you that? Were they beside themselves when the dog – they finally got the dog back?
Oh, yeah, well, you just mentioned it. It is family, this thing.
Mm.
Hunted out of the house, but no, not it. It sits up at the table as the run of the place.
Yeah, exactly. Most dogs do, don't they? Well, tell me a story about Harvest.
Harvest. Well, we don't do much harvest.
But round there you do, don't you? Around Boorowa there.
Around here, yeah, it looks like it's just not going to fill. We've had a tough year, worst year I think I've put in.
Uh-huh.
And the spring just faded. For the want of another inch or 2 inches, yeah, there would have been good crops around here. But they're up, just didn't get the rain, so they'll be a bit pinched, I'd say.
Yeah, well, it was ever thus, and south in southern New South Wales and in Victoria, maybe the same. Some will have, you know, it's the same every year, isn't it? You get good and bad.
Well, a lot of fellas have taken the hay option, thinking there'd be more money in hay than grain. Mm. And remains to be seen. If we get another drought, there will be. If we don't, there won't be.
And, well, how's the sheep and wool business?
Pretty good. We got a nice little rise here a month or so back, but they dragged it back a bit after that. But it's all right. The total package is very good with the increase in lamb and the increase in mutton.
Yeah.
And wool needs to go up another
notch,
20%, 30%.
Yeah.
They've just had the annual general meeting of the AWI board last week, and we have some new members on the board, so it'll continue on now under good management.
It's a wonderful fabric, the fabric it makes with wool, it's just wonderful stuff. And I hope it ever goes. It comes and goes, doesn't it, wool? But you know, when people want a good fabric, a good thing, they turn to wool because it's irreplaceable. It's natural. That's why.
Well, there's people like you, Mac, with wealth and conscientious consumer, they call you.
Oh, yeah.
You're our future.
Well, listen, ring us next week or get on the phone this morning and find the details. We want to know the name of the dog for a start and and who found the dog. And, I mean, it's the side stories we're interested in, Wal.
I'll get on to it. There could be a movie in this.
We'll call it Red Dog 2, something like that. Great to hear your voice, Wal. Good on you, mate.
Good, Macca.
See ya. Right. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Yeah, hi. Kelvin here.
Hi, Kelvin.
Yeah, you said just recently, going slow and smelling the roses. Well, that's exactly what my wife and I are doing right now. We're on a yacht and we're about 10 kilometres out from 1770 right now, and we're heading down to Bundaberg. And as we travel, we often have the ABC radio on, so we're going to pass the time as we travel. Yeah.
There you go, Kelvin. And you're sailing the boat yourself? Is that the story?
Yes, me and my wife, we're in a 42-foot sailing yacht, and At the moment, there's about 15 knots of wind. We're travelling quite quickly and hope to be in Bundaberg about lunchtime.
This is your boat or you've hired it, or what's the story, Kelvin?
This is my boat. We're doing it like a grey nomad, I suppose. My wife and I just recently retired, and instead of being on a caravan, we're on a boat. And we left in the middle of winter and from Lake Macquarie, and we sailed up to Cairns, and we're on our way back.
You said you're stopping to smell the rose, all that phrase clicked in your head. You retired. What were you doing?
I'm actually a robotics engineer. So my wife was working for special needs children.
And, yeah, well, you developed robots, can be used in with special needs people, can't they?
Yes, I suppose they could. I was more, the robots were more used for cutting meat, working in abattoirs. So all the heavy work was done by the robots and then passed on to the butchers after that.
And is this going to be a thing that's increasingly we'll see robots doing the work of people?
Yes, I think so. Especially when you use them to do the heavy work. So instead of people twisting and turning and hurting their backs, a robot could do it quite easily and sort of imitate what a person is doing.
Kelvin, you're off the coast. Did you say about 10, 15 k's off the coast? Is that right?
Correct. From 1770.
Yeah, the last sort of surf beach as you go north in Queensland.
Correct. Yeah, we're heading south, but to Bundaberg.
Yeah, lovely thing to do, Kelvin. I'll never sail a boat. It's a bit like flying. You need seven lives, don't you, to do all the things you want to do, learn to fly a plane or learn to play the saxophone or the trumpet or something. You need a lifetime to... How long have you been sailing, Kelvin?
Well, to tell the truth, since I was about eight, on a small sailing yacht, a boat, I should say, a moth, and just progressively worked my way up. And originally what gave us the idea was we were chartering yachts up in the Whitsundays and thought, we could take one extra step here and actually... purchased a yacht, and we have. And this is our second trip. First trip down from the Whitsundays. This trip we've sailed all the way to Cairns.
So you are you inside the reef or outside the reef or what?
No, we're inside the reef.
Yeah.
It's quite good here, actually. It's about, a half a metre of swell, and we're doing about eight knots. So we're travelling quite well. And very easily, actually, going with the wind.
I just sit and conjure what that's like, Kelvin. A wonderful thing to do. I always thought about sailing around the world when Francis Chichester did his sailing, all those years ago, and I thought, gee, wouldn't that be mighty? Well, it'd sort of be mighty, but you'd go through, you have the good weather and the bad weather, don't you?
That's correct. You got to take the bad as well. The good is very good, and it's surprising. It's surprising how many animals, like whales, dolphins, turtles, dugongs, just playing around your boat. It is really quite lovely. Absolutely love it.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing, Kelvin. It's a wonderful thing to do. I sit and listen to people who are doing all sorts of things. Some like you, some are driving trucks and doing things or harvesting or whatever they're doing. But, yes, you feel like you're not part of life when I sit here and listen to the people. But it's the next best thing, Kelvin. Maybe one day.
You got to make the most of life. And if it takes a little bit of a risk, well, it's only a little bit of a risk. And then the enjoyment you get from doing that is far exceeds any problems you might come up. So definitely been worth it. My wife and I absolutely love it.
I'll bet you do. Kelvin, great to talk to you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Bye.
G'day, this is Macca.
Oh, hi, it's Phil Kettle. How are you?
Good, Phil.
Phoning in from Mildura, I spoke to you about 12 months ago. We were setting up a program called Hands on Heart Australia, which was giving free CPR lessons throughout St. Razia, and the face of the program was the Mildura Lions Club. And on Thursday night, just ringing up to say that we're celebrating the 1,200th person who has been taught CPR in our area, which is quite amazing, and the vast majority being older primary school students.
Isn't it funny? I remember your call, and I asked you about CPR, didn't I? And I was just thinking about it yesterday, and I was just wandering along in my, you know, in a fog, as I usually do, and I thought, gee, I still haven't learned how to do CPR. And I'll have to do it, Phil. I'll have to do it.
Well, it's an important skill, and it's something once they learn, they can take it with them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, it's just been so good. And the Lions Club have been terrific, and other Lions clubs are now taking on the same project in other parts of Australia too, the first being in Cabarita in northern New South Wales.
The 1,200th person, and that's being celebrated on Thursday. Is that right? Where?
No, last Thursday.
Well, last Thursday.
We had a function, and we honoured all the people that have contributed, because financially we have, you know, you've got to pay somebody who conducts all the lessons.
Right.
So there was a lot of fundraising that had been done, and the old blue shirts, as I call them, the Lions Club, you know, out making, cooking sausages on a Saturday morning at markets, raising funds, which is absolutely fantastic.
You're in Mildura. How's the grapes going?
Well, I think it's not the best time that they've ever had. I think the wine industry suffers a little bit. As I understand it, drinking habits have changed a lot now. Younger people aren't drinking spirits and wine as much as what they were, and I just think it's a little bit harder, and I guess everybody on the land is doing it harder now than what they were.
Everybody's doing it harder, Phil, and it doesn't matter if they're on the land or not on the land.
Times are tough. Right.
Good on you, Phil. I've got to fly, but nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Good on you. Thank you, Macca. Bye.
Jacarandas in November,
all the colours I remember. I couldn't help but ring in about strawberries. I happened to be in what we used to call in the olden days, greengrocers. Just ahead of me, someone was sniffing a packet of strawberries, and I looked at her and I said, that's it. If you can't smell it, you don't buy it. They all look beautiful, but you can actually, there's a new variety that looks giant. Normally you wouldn't touch. These big ones, you can smell them as you come up to them. Any fruit, and tomatoes are the same. I'm with you. They all look beautiful and perfect fruit, but they've got no flavour, so what's the point?
Do
they
look?
Sniff, you don't buy it. If you're rich or you ain't got a cracker, they tell stories so grand of this vast timeless land, and they call it Sunday with Macca. They all call it Sunday with Macca. Yeah, they all call it Sunday with Macca. Get on with it, Macca. I will. They don't sniff, you don't buy them. Simple as that. Exactly. I've always sniffed my fruit. And then you have signs, please don't handle the fruit. You've got to sniff it. But you can usually smell good strawberries. You can smell them a mile off. And same with mangoes. And tomatoes and things like that. How are you this morning? Upside down and back to front. That's how skywriters up in there, that's how they print up there. Upside down and back to front. And they get it done. Speaking of strawberries, from Cole White, Cole says, last Sunday was certainly Strawberry Sunday. He's a card. We've had the same experience with strawberries and indeed with other fruit and veg as well. None is really cheap either, and it makes it even worse. Apples are another example. Lovely, shiny red and firm to touch, but a pale brown colour and mushy inside. The ones that upset me most, says Cole, are the bananas. We eat a lot of them, and Cole's in Queensland, but only buy enough for 2 days at a time. That's particularly galling because when we lived in Innisfail, we were able to eat and thoroughly enjoy the rejects. Not good looking enough for the supermarkets. I'm hoping to be lucky with my cherry tomatoes again. They come up every year about this time, receive no treatment at all, but taste lovely, even though they seem to be getting smaller each year. I did want to say you thank for the program and the crew. Morning, crew. The crew's got their heads down. Who once again helped us to experience some form of sanity in a world where money and power seems to be the most important asset we have. Where we can hear so much good and interesting news from a wide variety of the so-called ordinary people. I class them as extraordinary. Please keep calling Macca. Hope everyone has a very safe and satisfying festive season, and 26 sees things change for the better in our world. Fingers crossed. Thank you, Cole. And we were talking about e-bikes, and we've been inundated. The bloke who told me that Qantas is 105 today, congratulations, Qantas, lift your game. I can say that to lots of people. It's not just Qantas. I'm saying lift your game. We all need to lift our game, including you, Ian. Lang Goodsell says, in Paris, you pay a deposit. This is on bikes. But people really, I can't believe them. You pay a deposit, and if you don't return the bike to the bike station, you lose your deposit. Simple. I don't ride a bike. Since I came a cropper on a bike when I was about 15, I bought a bike to do a paper run, but I went base over Apex, not doing the paper run. It's a bit later, and I thought that's it for me, and not riding bikes anymore. But they're around the city. They're all over the place. This is just these travel bikes that people ride, and they just leave them, and they kick them over, and they're laying everywhere. It's not a good look. To the Premier of New South Wales, it's not a good look. Not a good look at all. And these e-bikes, dangerous things. As I said, at Oatley West, where I used to go to school as a little boy, this kid goes tearing up the footpath on the other side of the road, which is cement, and he must have been doing 30 k's an hour, just going motoring, because there was no one on it. But anyone could walk out, a little kid could run out and could be dominoed. And it's one of those ones with the tractor tyres on the front. They're like tractor tyres. And you can't hear him. And it's electric of some sort because he's... And he goes up to school, to Oatley West School, presumably to pick up his young brother, who was about, I don't know, 6 or 7. And I was there because I was working in the garden as usual. He comes back with the brother on the back, but they were only doing about 20 on the way back. Anyway, lots of people dislike e-bikes and the way the deliveries people just make their own traffic arrangements. Unbelievable. This morning, Wal rang up. He said, I've got a story for you, Macca. It's another one that's, we'll call it a red dog story. So anyway, there's a dog in Burrawa who disappeared and he was found in Caloundra. I said, what was the dog's name? He didn't know. I said, who found the dog? Didn't know. He didn't know. Well, didn't know a lot of things. But this is what this Steve says. On the last Australian story, they had a story about a lost dog. A dachshund was lost in the bush on Kangaroo Island for 18 months and eventually found in good condition. A trapper eventually trapped it. Why am I reading this? Just a chance our local show could get a mention this morning. No way. The Deloraine Show, not a worry. Next Saturday at Deloraine in northern Tasmania, over 40 years, and this year we have the Tasmanian whip-cracking event. Oh, all right. Well, the whole thing. Yes, the Deloraine Show. Kel, did you know the Deloraine Show's on?
Yes.
You did? Okay. How did you know that?
It's in the
CA. Is it? It's in the... Oh, right. You write those, don't you? Okay. Yeah. Does anyone know if anyone called this morning? But yesterday there was a wonderful community event in Kyogle, 100 years of the Kyogle Hospital. No, we've got a soft spot, but we're letting you know. We've got a soft spot for haven't we, Kel?
Yes.
You're in and out, Kel. Which room are you in? The out of control room? Anyway, the last grain race, we had a call from Port Victoria this morning. Remember we did a program there in 1999? Yes, Ian, we remember that. And we had a call this morning, and it's 150 years of Port Victoria, and there's lots of lovely books about that sailing days when they had the great grain races and they loaded the boats in Port Victoria and they sailed back to England, and it was a race between, you know, the Pamir and the Passat, all those wonderful big, and they were based on wind power. Remember that? Anyway, the last grain race to Port Victoria, says William McInnes, was in fact in 49 when the still four-masted barks, the Pamir and the Passat, raced to Port Victoria from their base at Marienheim in the Baltic. World War II had essentially destroyed Captain Gustav Eriksson's fleet of Cape Horner sailing ships transporting wheat from South Australia to British ports. This is a much better exposition than I was giving, William. Thank you. Gustav's son organised the 49 venture, but not unexpectedly it proved economically unviable. The Pamir was subsequently tragically lost in a hurricane. Hurricane Carrie in 57. All right, that was before climate change, wasn't it, in 57. 80 of the 86 crew members died, mostly young sailors. The Passat is preserved. Thank you, Bill. This is from Terry. Magra, if you're getting built out in suburbia, it might be time to sell your historic cottage and find a peaceful place and grow your own coleslaw ingredients and get out of the rat race. As for electric bikes, don't worry. If you get hit by one, you can sue the New South Wales government for their negligence in not having these actual motorbikes not registered and insured. Lennox Heads has gone crazy with these illegal electric motorbikes. I know people have been on about this for years and years and nothing is done. It's like the illegal cigarettes. How are criminals, yeah, I will. How, thank you, Kel. How are criminals allowed to make money in with this cigarette? How is that allowed to happen? Do you ever ask yourself what's happening in Australia? And do you ask yourself how that's going on? And people say, oh, yes, it's. And quickly and finally, and thank you for your emails. Peter Page says, I live in Foster in New South Wales. Last week you referred to black swans. And have noticed a few black swans here on Wallace Lake this past week, but never previously. Long-term residents may tell me that they're always on the lake. Been listening forever, says Pete Page. I don't know, but they turned up in a couple of places, which is really nice. And as I've said, when I read that Banjo Patterson poem, which I'll read again, it's a lovely poem. It's about the black swans. And a number of great Australian poets from yesteryear wrote poems about the black swans, Dame Mary Gilmore. And it was because there were flights. Routinely there were flights. You'd see flights of black swans heading west or heading whatever, and they'd talk, calling to one another in their little phalanx of a wonderful thing. But I've never seen that in growing up. But apparently that's what happened. But maybe we had a couple of reports of piles of black swans in various places. Is it Eldert in Adelaide?
It is indeed. How are you?
Good. That's an interesting name. Eldert, is it?
Yes, I've never met another one. I've seen a few streets named after me, and they'll be paying up later, I guess. It originates from the Netherlands, and my father named me Eldert after one of my forebears in the 17th century. He's archived our family right back to about 1200, bless his dear soul, and that was all before the internet.
See, I thought, I'm looking at my screen, I thought that's a spelling mistake. It's probably Egbert or something else.
No, I get all sorts of derivations. Don't you worry about that. I just thought I'd follow up with respect to your all-over news segment on the jacarandas. Uh-huh. It's going off a purple haze in Adelaide at the moment. But we also have a second bloom sometimes in April and May, which is quite extraordinary, not to the extent that we have in November, but it is quite a delight to see it come up a second time. And I thought I'd just mention that as a passing comment.
An April and May flowering?
Yes, a second clutch of flowers, if that's the right word. It depends on the season, but there certainly is some more fresh blooms coming out at that time of year.
Yeah, I mentioned in our All Over News, which we'll put on the podcast, and speaking of podcasts, I read a comment the other day where a lady said, no, I don't listen to podcasts. Everyone's asked if they listen to podcasts. She said, no, I don't listen to podcasts. I like to listen to radio. Podcasts to me are too contrived. They're too structured. She said, I like the informality and the flamboyance of just normal radio, and it's exactly how I feel. But we do a podcast, and we'll put our little bit on. And it was a South American tree, and it grows everywhere right across the world, in Mexico and places like that. But apparently, they don't grow them in London because the frost kills them. The flower doesn't flower nearly as well in London. So the climate change mustn't have struck. Because we thought it was all going to warm up, but apparently England hasn't warmed up yet.
No, the purple blossom is amazing. Once it starts falling off the trees, We obviously get purple roads, which are, it's quite extraordinary as well. So,
oh, it looks beautiful, beautiful.
Quite a nice colour scheme.
And it seems to me that they're even more, the longer the November goes, the deeper into November you go, the more they seem to be more purple. I don't know if that's right.
Look, I think it is true. It starts off very very faint, and then it goes more purple, and then we have the Adelaide, the old John Martin's Christmas pageant, which is kind of the peak of the purple. But it lasts sometimes into December. But as I said, we do get a second bloom sometimes April, May. So we're very fortunate down here.
Yeah, I'll say, Eldred, how's things in Adelaide?
Very, very busy. We've got the beach volleyball championships, as you mentioned earlier. Extraordinarily, they are not played at the beach, which is a bit of a shame. Can't work that one out, but I could have saved a lot of money exporting sand into the city. But
yes, exactly. Are you a volleyballer? A beach volleyball?
Look, I have played volleyball occasionally, but I'm a walking person these days, getting more into my sunset years with my Kelpie, making sure I keep the pace up. So it's all good in Adelaide, all good in Adelaide, Macca. Come on down sometime.
All right, Eldert, I'll look for, you don't live in the, is there some streets? I've never seen a street called Eldert Street or Road. Yeah. Or avenue?
Well, my daughter lives in New York, and she constantly sends me Eldert Street, I think somewhere in Brooklyn. Beware. There's only one Eldert in the world as far as I know.
I think it's lovely. Good on you, Eldert. Nice to talk to you, mate.
And you, Macca. Take care.
See ya. Bye. Justin's at Heathrow. Is that right, Justin? You're at Heathrow?
Mate, I am sitting 250 metres from the third runway on Terminal 4, and I'm literally sitting outside the premises of one of the hotels that goes into the airport itself.
Mm.
And I'm looking right now up at the 360-degree orbiting satellite. It's just literally copying everything. You can hear it right now. I'm not sure. But, it's just epic, and I'm just about to drop my son off. To Etihad tomorrow morning, and they're going to take him back to Australia for his first ever trip from Australia to England, and he's had an absolutely fantastic time, Macca.
Well, I bet he has. How long has he been there, for a week or two?
16 days.
16 days. So how old is he?
So he's 28.
Uh-huh.
And it's his first ever trip, first ever plane. From Coffs Harbour to, there's another one, Coffs to Sydney, and then Sydney to Abu Dhabi, and Abu Dhabi to Heathrow. Picked him up. We went straight down to Devon in Barnstaple, and straight to Cornwall. We did the beautiful toe of Cornwall, so the far south-west peninsula, all the way from Newland, Penzance. Took him out to Land's End, back to St. Ives, and then we caught the beautiful train from Carvers Bay. We were staying in Carvers Bay.
Mm.
And he's just, it's literally blown his mind, Macca.
Justin, tell me the familial relationship. So what, you live in England and he lives in Australia, yeah. And is that the story?
Yeah, so we're Coffs boys. So I grew up in Coffs and had my son in Coffs, and then I moved to England, and then he's finally come over to England. So, and the main thing, Macca, he kept saying down in Cornwall, he just kept saying down around, his name's Tariq Hart anyway, if just everyone out there, Tariq Hart from Coffs Harbour is a talented musician. He kept saying, Dad, this is like Macaulay's, or this is like Carora. This is like land. It's like, I feel like I'm in my land, Dad. And, we're all gumbangare. And so he just felt, he really felt some sort of land over here, like nation, and he felt connected to it. And that was the most important thing, Macca.
Exactly. Now, Justin, you said, oh, look, there's another one. What's another one? Another satellite?
So I've got these beautiful planes just literally bursting out of the sky, just to my right, just coming out of the sky at, like, 600. Here we go, ready?
I can't even think. Justin, what's the time over there?
There you go.
There you go.
It's just insane. So I'm literally 250 metres away from these planes, taken off, and going to drop my son on one of these tomorrow.
All right. Justin, what's the time over there now in the evening?
Right now, just going to check the old...
At this point of time. It'll be about 10 o'clock.
It's 10 to 10.
All right. Good on you, Justin. What's the weather like in the UK at the moment, in London?
We've just had a massive storm. Storm Claudia's just come through and belted us. Yeah. And my daughter's had a tree go down in the back garden. That's all right. I've got a chainsaw. I'll go and saw that out.
Oh.
And then cops have just gone past me. Well, lights on.
It's all happening in Heathrow. The English cricket team's here, mate. The English cricket team's here.
Mate, can you stick them up? Can you stick it up for me, mate? Please, just come on, England. Come on, Australia.
No, come on, England. I'm voting for England. There you go.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, come on. No, I'm voting for England.
Oh, good on you.
All right, Justin, good on you. Lovely to talk to you, mate.
Look, it's always great to hear your show. I listen to it. You know I listen to it. I've spoken to you for a long time, and I always listen to it. I love you guys, and I love the ABC community. See you.
Thank you, mate. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Hi, Mac. It's Richard Kerrison calling from Papua New Guinea. How are you doing?
Good, Rich. What's happening?
That's what. Mate, just working the gold mine up here. I just saw a call in say today. Love the show, mate. I love hearing from the farmers. I come off the land originally and just love hearing from the farmers and how they're going. I know they do it tough. And just everyone around Australia and the guy that called in from London early was just really great. So I just love the width and breadth of your show, mate, and really look forward to every Sunday.
Thank you, Richard. So how long have you been gold mining in PNG?
Just ticked over 12 months. Mm. It's a beautiful place, a country I just love to bits. The people are awesome. They're rugby league mad up here, so it's great.
I know, they're bonkers, aren't they? They are just bonkers about rugby league. Oh,
mate, I'm trying to find Parramatta supporters, and I can only find Broncos or Cowboys, unfortunately.
Well, that's because it's close. See, there's lots of states like the Territory, Northern Territory, or is used to be called Central Australia, is related really to South Australia, and Queensland is related to PNG in lots of ways because lots of people who work there, you come back and forth. Are you a Queenslander, Richard, or?
Oh, from the Monero of New South Wales, originally live in Perth, but... I mean, when I'm in PNG, Mac, I mean, I sort of consider this place an extension of Cairns and, you know, right up north, really. I mean, we're only a couple hundred k's from the first couple of islands of PNG when you get right up the top of Australia. And we're so in tune and alike. I mean, our love of sport brings us together and, you know, they've got a great family culture and, you know, the people are just awesome. And, yeah, it's a privilege to actually work up here. I think it's one of the best jobs I've ever had, actually.
Well, there you go. The price of gold is, it went down for a little bit, but it's up again, isn't it? Up.
It is, mate, yes. I actually checked it yesterday. It's just over $4,000 US a tonne. So it's an ounce. I shouldn't have said tonne.
A tonne, jeez.
We'll all be robbing people for it. It's shooting the stars out at the moment. And we're in a pretty special place where we are. We're about 2,800 metres above sea level. So we sort of climb up in the bus to get here. But the aspect and the view here is just something else. When you've got a clear day, it's just magnificent.
Yeah, so whereabouts is that?
So you go to Port Moresby, then we fly about 45 minutes to a place called Bilolo, and then we jump on a bus and hike it up to the mine. Like I say, it's about 2,800 metres above sea level. I think what's called the Morobe province. It's just a magical part of the world and a magical part of the country.
Sorry, a lovely place to live and work, Richard. I love to watch when I see the PNG, the players, and also the audience. They just, yeah, it's lovely to see people enjoy something so much, I think.
Oh, look, I think sport just brings everyone together, Macca, and, you know, we watched our whole team get together at State of Origin here on the camp, and, you know, just the spirit and the camaraderie was just something else, and they love their sport, and, you know, they're going to put the NRL side in the comp, I think, in 2028, so that's just going to, you know, unite people again, and they're just sports mad. And the company I work for actually sponsors a local rugby league side, and they won the premiership this year, so It's just great that sport just brings people together.
Good on you, Richard. Great to talk to you, mate.
Thanks, Macca.
See ya. Keep in touch. G'day, this is Macca.
Hi, Macca. It's Gaz from Broken Hill. How are you?
Yeah, good, Gaz. Yep.
Yeah, hey, very sad about Lawsy. What a magnificent, beautiful man and great voice.
Mm.
Hey, sad day for us. We closed our shop. We actually have a tobacconist in Broken Hill.
Wow.
So we've been in a franchise for 7 years. So we've been, you know, legitimate. And then I heard you earlier say, I don't know what's going on with all this tobacco. And I've watched it for the last 7 years, and quite frustrating. And in the end, we closed our doors on Wednesday, and we're in the shop now cleaning it out. Enough's enough, I think. So we in the end, with all the illegal tobacco in this town, anyone that was selling tobacco in a legitimate way, we lost 75% of our revenue. People going underground. They would you can go online now, or you can get it from the post. I'm sorry, I'm probably telling people how it works. But, you know, you can go online, you can get it from the post. People were bringing it in, selling it from their homes. One old little old lady was selling cigarettes in a smoke room in a poker machine venue. It's quite rampant.
I'm just amazed that people in politics, state and federal, can look at this and what's going on, and, you know, tobacco shops in Melbourne getting blown up routinely, and that's been going on for ages. How you can let that go on? Now, I've got no idea of the solution because I'm not involved in that, but I'm sure there are people around. Jack the Insider would know, who writes in the Oz, but there's one. You must be able to do. You can't just, you know. It's a bit like Al Capone running around, you know, and finally they got stuck into him and he ended up in the slammer, and good luck to him. But, I mean, they know who these people are who are illegal types, and I'm just amazed, Gary, that this continues to go on. Like, I'm amazed that all these bikes and e-bikes are going around. They're going to kill somebody sooner or later.
Yeah, well, so with the tobacco, particularly in my hometown, etc., like the tobacco laws in New South Wales are written in the health regulations. So the New South Wales police, when they want to go and raid a place, they actually have to bring their health officer with them to do the raid because it's a health act. Now, you've got one officer that runs a territory as big as the UK, and you just don't have the manpower and. The writing on the wall for us was when we heard that there was a meeting with the Commissioner of Health with all these lieutenants, so to speak, and the funding stopped at Dubbo. So there was no money to come out here to police what's going on out here.
I'm just amazed. I've got no respect for politicians while this goes on, while governments of all persuasions allow this to go on. I mean, they're it's not the law. Governments make the laws and they're enforced by police and hopefully magistrates and et cetera. But,
absolutely. Look, but the people, you know, who are, you know, everyone's doing it hard and they're all trying to find scroungers, whatever they can to meet their needs. I have all my love to all my customers and all my customers that went on to do illegal stuff. But the thing is that, it's, as I said, it's government based, and to think that they can we'll reduce the cost of cigarettes and bring it back to something manageable, the horse has already bolted.
But
it's gone. It's out the door. It's gone.
Yeah, and think of all the container loads of this coming into Australia, on all those ships with, you know, thousands of containers, and it's a wonderful sight to see a big ship coming into Port Melbourne or into Port Botany with all these containers on, and you think to yourself, well, there's probably about 15 or 20 of those full of cigarettes.
If it's right, there's 40. It's a $4 billion industry. It's the biggest growth industry in Australia through the ATO.
And
I just wanna, just, yeah.
Quick, go on. Quick. I've got.
I just want to say to the people who are buying illegal stuff. I get it, but what you're doing is you're actually now establishing criminal activity in my hometown, and it's not little; it's big.
Australia,
they're all playing nicely now, but when they don't, it's going to be on, and it comes, and other stuff comes with that illegal stuff.
And it's all over Australia; it's not just in Broken Hill, Gary. Good on you. I've got to fly, mate. Thank you for your call.
Right. Thanks, Macca. Cheers,
pleasure.
Mate. Thank you.
G'day, Grace.
Good morning, Macca.
Oh, good morning. How can I help you?
We're always listening to your program every Sunday morning.
Uh huh.
And I'm just ringing to let you know we just come back from Everest Base Camp.
Oh, really? What, you didn't climb Everest, but you're at the base camp?
We just went to Everest Base Camp.
How high?
So we started on.
How high is the base camp? How high is the base camp? How's
it? It's 5,316 meters.
Wow.
High.
Mm.
Yeah. So we started on a very treacherous area. We had rains for 3 days, and then after that, sunshine, and we have a stormy weather, but we managed to get it. We reached there.
Lots
after
of
10 days.
You've got lots of people there? Lots of people at the base camp?
It wasn't many because the airport was closed for 3 days.
Oh, I see.
Because of the weather, yeah. So we're very lucky we're the last one to get on to land on the airport, in Lukla Airport.
Yeah, well, I've heard that Everest, of course, and the base camp indeed are packed with lots of people. It's like it is in Australia, going on the Kokoda track. The people head to Everest; they want to climb it or go to the base camp. So that's why I asked you that question. That's all. So why did you go? Why did you go, Grace? Why did you want to go?
We just want to challenge. My husband and I just want to challenge ourselves. But it was very, very hard work.
Yeah, I bet it was. Grace, where do you come from originally?
I originally from Cebu, Philippines.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in Australia for over 30 years, and I'm loving it.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, well, you should have called us from the base camp, but how long were you there for?
We tried, but then because of the altitude and also the connection, it was very hard.
And was it winter or summer over there?
It was freezing, minus 22 degrees.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we had all the pains and everything, but we're recovered now.
Oh,
but
Grace.
Thank you for taking my call, Macca.
It's a pleasure. And what's your husband's name?
Here, I'm right here. How are you going, Macca? Shane.
Shane. G'day, Shane. Yeah, good. Yes, well, you maybe go on another time when the weather's a bit more gentle.
Yeah, you should put it on your to-do list.
No, I shouldn't. I should learn the trombone. I should. There's a million things to do.
I'm 68, Macca, so you're much younger than me.
Yeah, well, of course. But, I don't think I'll be going to the base camp anytime soon. It doesn't attract me, although sitting on a mountain is very good for you, apparently. Commune with the world and things like that.
Yeah.
Yes, all right, I'll see you both when I come to the West next year, hopefully.
We'll come, yes, for sure, Macca.
Thank you, Macca.
That's a pleasure, Grace. Good on you, Shane.
Okay, bye-bye,
bye. Macca. G'day, this is Macca. Hello.
Morning, this is Nathan McEwen here.
Hi, Nathan McEwen, how are you going?
Not too bad. I'm just ringing in about my missing German Shepherd, Arnie.
I just got an email here. You sent an email, and now here you are.
That wasn't me with the email. That was somebody else from the public. But, the community have been brilliant reaching out, and the whole of Australia is looking for Arnie, the German Shepherd. He went missing 9 days ago now.
How?
He was sleeping in the back of my ute in Wynnum in East Brisbane. And my ute got robbed, and there's been no sightings of the Toyota Hilux with the registration 653SLY. It's a black Toyota Hilux 2012 model with ARB bull bar snorkel rhino roof racks, black canopy, and
they stole the car and the dog was in it, eh?
And my dog was in it. Yeah, I don't care about the ute now. I just want my dog back. But
well, exactly. When I talked to Wal this morning, who told me the story about a dog found in Caloundra after, you know, a great length of time. It's a terrible thing, Nathan, and lots of people. We don't usually do lost dogs, but anyway, good luck with
it. The whole of Australia are looking for them, but I've actually found every other German Shepherd around Australia for other people, but except mine. There was a German Shepherd that broke free on Friday evening down at Hope Island near the Gold Coast, and my phone rang 3 times in 3 minutes.
Oh dear!
And by the time the German Shepherd was got, there was 12 people had jumped out of their cars to grab this German Shepherd.
Well, somebody must find Arnie, Nathan. They're listening all over the place. So
I'm just putting it out there too for anybody that's on the road over the weekend, people that are on four-wheel drive tracks, bikers that are on tracks, are out on the road, caravan people. Just keep your eyes peeled for the youth and especially the German Shepherds.
Yeah. Nathan, tell me your accent. You're Irish, obviously. How long have you been here?
15 years.
15 years.
Love it.
Well, I hope you get Arnie back for your sake and for Arnie's sake as well. Good on you, Nate.
Good man. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Hey, Mick here from Wollongong. How are you?
Yeah, good, Mick.
Yeah, that was a good John Laws remembering.
It was nice, wasn't it?
It was very nice.
You miss there's things you miss in life and Lawsy was one and David Letterman's the other one in my media. Yeah, go on.
Fair enough. I've just come back from dropping some people at the airport in Wollongong, and down here we've got the Illawarra convoy. So I first met the trucks at top of Bulleye Pass, and pretty well there was a line of trucks all the way through to down the pass, down Mount Ursley, all the way into Wollongong.
Mm-hmm.
And they go around the lake through Warragong, Windang, and then round to Illawarra Airport, or Shell Harbour Airport. And it's just a big fundraiser. But there's been people along bridges, people on the side of the motorway.
Great sight to see, Mick.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
You're not a truck driver, Mick, are you?
No, I'm just driving a Hyundai little car, but a bit more on occasionally, just for fun.
That's wonderful. The truckies, I love the truckies. And Dale, so it's a fundraiser, what, for Christmas or what, something, I suppose?
I'm not 100% sure, but could be just a local cancer association or a mixture of a few different fundraisers. But they do a pretty good job. There'll be a lot of people at the airport. People will be wearing shirts for the next 6 months. Sloppy Joes, things like that. A lot of motorbikes around as well.
Well,
they do a very good job.
Yeah, it's a lovely sight. The trucks, they're just fantastic. When I'm on the road, I see them. Some of them are polished and shiny. They look just fantastic. Good on you, Mick.
Macca, have a good morning.
Good on you, mate.
And, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, mate. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Hi, Mac. How you going, mate?
Good, thank you.
My name's Alan Thorpe. I'm currently walking from Ballarat to Canberra for men's mental health and 2,500 too many, which is shoes that are laid out for all the men and boys that took their lives last year, and to get situational distress recognised. It's been an event. It's been running 4 years. It's not my event. I'm tied in with the people that run it, and I'm walking to it to bring awareness to it.
Where are you, Alan?
I'm 50 k's out of Canberra. I'm nearly there, mate. I left on October 20th.
Should have rung us earlier.
Yeah, I tried the other couple of weeks and I didn't get through, and then I forgot about it. And yeah.
There you go. And how's your shoes?
Yeah, I've gone through 4 pairs, mate.
So oh, well.
If anyone wants to follow me on socials, I'm I Walk for Men's Mental Health with one word.
Mm-hmm.
I arrive on Wednesday, which is International Men's Day.
All right. On Wednesday, International Men's Day. All right. Good luck. And what are you going to do when you're in Canberra?
There's 2,500 shoes are laid out. So that's it's a big, it's pretty emotional. And I'm laying a pair out for my dad. So,
Alan, good on you, mate. Nice to talk to you. Wish you'd have got through, but it doesn't matter. You've got through now and you've let people know. And, keep up the good work, mate. See ya.
Appreciate your support, mate.
See ya. Bye.
See ya.
There you go. I hope you enjoyed our highlights package. If you want the full Monty, listen in every Sunday morning from 5:30 till 10 and tune into Australia. If you see me on the road, stop and say g'day. Contact me at macatracks@gmail.com. Talk to you Sunday.